All right, I'm ready to preach. Y'all ready to hear? Let's go. All right, you ready? I got something for you that I want to drop into your heart this morning. And I believe with all my heart, if you will grab a hold of what I got for you, man, it's going to bless you. It's going to bless you. Are y'all ready? All right, here we go. Listen, here's what I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you about something that, let me just break it down this way and kind of work it this way. Oftentimes in our walk with God, things happen. And what will happen in the course of our Christian walk is we will see things happen and we don't realize why they are happening. We will see things happening and we don't understand why. We wonder why, but we don't know why. We don't know why. And what I have found in my spiritual walk, and probably is true about yours also, is the fact that the difference between successes and failures oftentimes are not huge things. They're not things that are large. They're the small things. And what you'll find about God and about the kingdom of God is this, that understanding God sometimes may be hard to do, but understanding how God does things, sometimes it isn't about the big things you understand, it's about the small things you understand. Okay, so let me say it this way and say it plain. Sometimes you can focus so much on big things that have no relative impact on your life while you neglect minor things that impact your life in major ways. Did y'all get that? All right? So what I've found is that if you can learn a few things. You ain't got to know everything about God and everything about the kingdom of God. But if you can learn a few things and apply those things to your life, you'll see great results. And even though there are people that may know big things, if they're the wrong things, you don't get anywhere. You don't get anywhere. But if you know the small things and you apply them, you'll make some progress in your spiritual walk. So I was thinking about it in light of this. Check this out. Michelle got a new phone several months ago. And forever she had an iPhone, she switched over to a Samsung phone. And I remember one day I went to look for her phone because I didn't have my phone with me. And I grabbed her phone, which I did two things I should never do. For one, I went into her purse. There have been people lost in there for years, I'm convinced. Why? We can't find stuff in there. All right, and she's got everything in there, everything. There's a coffee maker, everything. I mean, it's in her purse. All right, so I went into her purse, and I got her phone out. And when I got her phone out, I noticed that it was weird. It was different this time because it was not an iPhone, which is what I used. She had a different phone, and there was these dots all over it. And I kept trying to open the dots. And apparently connect the dots is something that is important to this specific phone. And the dots wanted to be connected in a certain way. They wanted to be in a certain way. And here was my deal. Here was my frustration. My frustration was not the fact that I did not know the passcode, which don't even ask me why my wife has a code on her phone. Not even going to ask that. What is more aggravating than the fact that she has a passcode on her phone with these little dots is the fact that this, hear me and hear me well, I need access to something that has potential to help me. I need help, it has potential, and I need access to it. And because I don't have access to it, I am without help. I'm without help. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if I just knew the passcode, I could get help. See, the phone has unlimited potential to help me. Or at least in my world, at that point it did. Unlimited potential. And I'm frustrated, not because I don't know the passcode. I'm frustrated because the potential of help is right there. Right there. I can hold it. I can touch it. But I cannot get into the thing. Yeah. And if I, by simply knowing how four dots are arranged in a specific order, I can unlock the potential of the device. Y'all hearing what I'm saying so far? And here's what I found. Listen to this. God is unlimited in his potential, but I am limited. God is unlimited in his abilities, but I am limited. God has multiple resources at his disposal that I have access to. But the problem oftentimes is we don't know how to unlock it, how to access it, how to unlock the code, how to make it alive, how to bring it into my life, how to access that help that I need, because we all know, can I get a witness on this, that God is unlimited, that his resources are unlimited. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those things. So this morning, what I want to try and articulate to you is something that the Lord dropped in my heart several weeks ago, and really, I couldn't really find a word for. It's really something that's really hard to articulate, and since I'm a simple man, I always want to break it down in the simplest terms that I could get. So what I've done is I've really just kind of stuck a word to it, but it's really, it's a word that I have for you in your heart that is bigger than the word itself. And the word is simply, it's a simple word, and it's called forward. Forward. Everybody say forward. Forward, forward, forward. Now, before I even get started in this principle or idea called forward, I want you to understand that this is not about your personality type. This is not about how God wired you. This is how you access the things of God. How many of you want to access the things of God? All right. You have to understand the principle of forward to access the things of God in your life. Without understanding this principle, you're going to be like me looking at Michelle's phone. You're going to know that it has unlimited potential, but I can't access it. It has the ability to help me, but I can't access it. Can't access it. And I get frustrated because I just can't get it into my life. I can't get it into me. I can't get it into my life anywhere. Forward, 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 forward. So what am I really trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that ever since the dawn of time, there have been rules, principles, and laws that God operates within the confines of. That God doesn't move abstractly. He moves purposefully. That everything God does, he does with a purpose and with a mindset to move something forward. From the outward observer, it will oftentimes look like God picks people for certain things and God doesn't pick people for other things. So, for example, breaking it down to the lowest denominator, we could say that God picks some from the outward observance. God picks some and blesses them while he doesn't bless others. God will pick some and heal them and he won't heal others. God will pick some and prosper them, and yet he won't prosper others from the outward observance of things. Oftentimes, we think that God plays favorites. And it's not that God plays favorites, because the Bible is very clear that God is a respecter of no person. In other words, he doesn't hold one up and pulls one down. He doesn't do that. He doesn't pick one saint over another saint. No, no. But it is possible for certain people to have access to things and other people not have access to things. And it's not because God desires them to have access. It's just they figured out the little things that unlock the big things. Yeah. Are y'all with me so far? Say amen to that. All right? It's the little things. If you can apply a little thing, if it's three dots on a board, if I can figure out the little things, I can unlock the big things. I can unlock all the potential in the world of the little things. Are y'all with me right now? All right. So what is the little thing that becomes a big thing? And it's this idea of forward. It's forward. That God is not picking favorites. That God is not moving in some people and not in others, because he desires to do that. It has to do with this idea of forward. Think about it this way, and I'll give it to you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Everybody say hovering. Listen, here's what God was doing. He was moving. And which direction was he moving? He was moving forward. He was moving forward. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about the past. It only tells us about what was happening forward. Forward. From that point on, we can only speculate what happened in the past. We have to move forward. Because God is a forward moving God. God only moves in one direction. God is only moving in one direction, and that direction is, y'all are getting it, but it's slow. First service had it a whole lot faster. They only go in one direction, and that direction is forward, forward. God was moving forward. God was moving forward. And here's what you find. You find that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit moved, and he was moving forward. He was hovering over the face of the waters, and you never find a scripture in the Bible that tells us God ever stopped moving forward. You only find God moving forward. God moving forward. And what you'll find in the Bible is that as people encounter God, that if you want to encounter God, I said if, I'm going to say it again. How many of y'all want to encounter God in your life? All right, if you want to encounter God, I'm talking to you. If you want to encounter God, you're going to have to know which direction God is moving in. And you're going to have to understand that if you are willing to do the same thing he's doing, because he's not doing what you're doing. He's God, you're not. All right? He's not going to conduct himself according to your nature, God forbid. You're going to have to conform to his nature. And his nature says, I'm moving, and I'm moving forward. And if you're going to be with me, if you're going to walk with me, if you're going to talk with me, if you're going to do anything with me, you're going to have to walk with me, and you're going to have to move in a direction. And that direction is not backwards, and it's not left, and it's not right. It's always forward. It's always forward. This is what God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12. He said, here's what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to get out, and I want you to move forward, and I want you to leave your family. How many of you know that's forward sometimes? I want you to leave your family and leave your country, and I want you to move forward with my plan for you. With my plan for you. And then we go on and we can find all these different examples. We got Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel. This is an interesting scripture to me. Because here's what you find. The children of Israel, they're coming out of the Egyptian bondage. They're walking out there and they come into contact with a sea called the Red Sea. Oh, come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? They get there and here's what the Bible says. They got to the sea and they looked around. They were surrounded completely, no way out. And they start crying out to God. And God says, hey, I'm here, but watch this. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? If you want to have me moving with you, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Somebody say forward. Forward. If you're going to encounter me, if you want me to do miracles, you're going to have to move forward. You're going to have to move forward. It doesn't stop there. Then we can hop over here out of Genesis, hop over here to Numbers. Then the tabernacle, which is the presence of God, was to go forward. Come on, talk to me. It was to go which direction? Forward. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Then we find that's Numbers 15, verse 1. Then we could stop in there. Look at Numbers 12. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam and told them both to go forward. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? He told them to go forward. Think of Joshua. Moses, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go to this Jordan forward. Go forward. Joshua chapter 3, there's an army. God tells Joshua, I've given them into your hands. Go forward. Joshua chapter 10. The Bible says that Joshua, wanting to encounter the enemy, comes up, and the Bible says, God says, I've given them also into your hand. The Bible says Joshua marched all night and went forward, encountered them, and took the land from them. He went forward. He went forward. He went forward. He went forward. The children of Israel, 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Why were they 40 years in the wilderness? They sent 12 spies out. Two came back, said, we can take the land. Let's go forward. 10 came back. We can't take the land. That generation all died in the wilderness because of their inability to move forward. To move forward. I'm trying to lay the foundation here. Y'all getting what I'm saying? Pastor Charlie, you're wearing us out. I get it. Yeah, just work it with me. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 22. And the likeness of the four faces, these are the four living beasts that surround the throne of God. The faces were the faces in which I had seen by the river Chebar, Kokomo Reservoir. Their appearance and their persons. And they went straight forward. Yeah. There was a throne, and these angel, angelic beings, four living beasts were around the throne, and they didn't go left, and they didn't go right, and then they didn't go backwards. They went forward. It looks like God is moving in a direction. It looks like God is wanting to say something, and he is. He's wanting to say this, and I'm going to say it real plain. You ready? If you want to encounter God, there's a direction you must move. Your complacency, it disqualifies you for the miraculous power of God working in your life. Your stagnation disqualifies you to encounter the things that God wants you to encounter in your life. Your inability to move forward with God cost you encountering God. Cost you. Yeah, it does. It does. It does. It does. See, there's a principle I want you to hear this morning. And I want you to get this way deep down on the inside of you. You ready? And I'll give it to you up on the screen in my notes. You can write this down if you're taking notes. You cannot receive from God passively. You cannot receive from God passively. No, you can't. You cannot. You cannot receive from God passively. You cannot. Your complacency will rob you. See, here it is. You guys ready? God is moving. Ever since Genesis, he's been moving. And he's moving in a direction. And that direction is called, come on, you got to tell me better than that. He's moving where? He's moving forward. And here's the deal. His forward movement must be combined with your forward movement. Because when you take his movement and you come along aside his movement, then you qualify for the miraculous power that God has, and you unlock the potential of him in your life. Let me say it this way. When you don't move with God, you hinder God and you put shackles on God, and his power is limited in your life. If you want the unlimited power of God, you've got to understand how to move forward with God so that you can access the things of God. Because without moving forward in God, you can't access them. You've got to move forward with him. You can't live in the past. You can't live in the past. You can't live like you used to live. You've got to move forward. God is always, perpetually, always, always, always moving forward. You cannot find one example. I will eat the Bible verse that you can show me where anyone received anything from God by being passive, by sitting back by the wayside begging. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. This means, and this is what it means, it means that you as a believer cannot have a passive mentality and yet still experience all that God has for you. No, you cannot. You cannot. You can't be passive and yet, well, Pastor Charlie, I'm not wired that way. You are wired. You are. This is not a personality type. This is not about who's aggressive and who's not. This is about a forward movement in your heart. This is about pressing in on something that God has. This is about learning how to use yourself to move forward in the things of God. Let me take it corporately, then I'll get individual with it. Think about it corporately. I know a lot of times people think that I just need to hear you say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, he just needs that. No. No, what I believe is that when you come to church, you should be forward. Yeah. See, because maybe you don't know, but I know. See, you can't come from the background I come from and be where I'm at now. Not that I've arrived. I'm in Kokomo, Indiana, y'all. But you can't come from the stuff I came from to what's going on in me now without understanding the principle of forward. You can't understand that. So you may come in here and you may not know why we do some things the way we do. Or you may not know why I say, come on, talk to me, say amen. You may think it's calisthenics or I need your amen. I promise you, I don't need your amen to preach. It's muchly appreciated, but here's what you need. You need to know you need the amen way more than I need it. I'm preaching this stuff. I believe it. What I need from you is I, as your pastor, man, you know what I want? You know what my breath is? You know what I believe? I want. I'm talking about, I don't care if you're 95 years old all the way to those little kids down there on the other end. I want every person in this place to experience all that God has for their life, each and every day of their life. Yeah, I want that. And what I have learned is I have learned that you cannot be passive and receive from God. So therefore, I have purposely put in place things in our church to push you, to get you out of passivity, to move you into a place. Because here's the truth. If you're going to be passive and not receive anything from God, I'm probably not your pastor. If you want to receive from God and you want God to pour out things into your life, come on and hook up your chain to my chain, and we'll see God do some big things. And the way we do that is we understand that God is not passive. He does not bless passive things. He blesses people that can lean forward into some things, grab a hold of some things, and believe God for some things in their life. And when you can do that, man, you'll see the unlimited potential of God just absolutely explode up in your life. Say amen to that. Praise God. So what are we talking about? I'm talking about like when you come to church and you come to worship. Worship is not about a song. I mean, you know, people are like, well, I don't like the song. Well, no one complains to me about that stuff, but let's just say you don't. Here's the truth. The song ain't about you. The song is really about you leaning forward into some things. It's leaning forward into it. It's believing things. It's saying things. Lord, you are good in your mercy. You make all things work together for my good. I used to go to a church where we sang songs that we didn't even know what we were singing. Kumbaya, my Lord. I asked somebody, what does that mean? Shh, we're singing it. I said, I know. I don't know what we're singing. That's the problem. Because I believe that you can't receive from God passively. You got to press in on it. And I can't press on kumbaya because I don't even know what we're talking about. Right? They said, well, it means come by here, as if that was supposed to pacify me. I said, first of all, why are we asking God to come when he said he lives in us? Well, you're just not spiritual enough. No, you just don't understand the things of God, because your Bible says greater is he who's in you, he who's in the world. The Bible says you have received the Spirit of God. You have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. No one can receive the things of God except the Spirit of God that dwells in us. You are a child of God. If God lives up on the inside of you, you don't need to say, come by here. You need to say, I welcome you here, praise God, Lord. Activate yourself. Move in my life. And you will do that when you move forward. You can't have a passive mentality and receive the things of God, praise God. That means when we worship, we don't come with passivity in our attitude. We come with an engaging attitude. We clap our hands. We shout. Here's my watch. We shout, we say yes and amen. We say yes, you are good, Lord. We declare those things over our lives. I don't need the time anyway, do y'all? because you know I ain't listening to it. But anyway, you know, we're forward in our thinking. We're forward in our understanding. We're forward in our worship. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? This ain't time to have a moment. You can have your moment at home. You're here to say something. You're here to engage. You're here to move forward. Why? Not because we need that. But here's the truth. Your forward movement hits his forward movement, and you line yourself up for a miraculous power of God being unlimited in your life. Amen? Why do I have you say amen? Why do I push on that so much? It's because I need you to say amen? No. Here's what I know. You have to lean forward to receive the things of God. So by me saying amen, come on, say amen. You have to. You don't have a choice. But when you say amen, what that means is, so be it. I agree with it. Make it a part of my life. Yeah. Yeah. So be it. Let it be so. Bring it my way, God. I'll take that, Lord. I'll be walking through a store sometimes. I can see a sign at Hobby Lobby and say, oh, yeah, that's me right there. Bless me, Lord. Yeah, bless me. I'll hear a song on the radio. You can't receive from God passively. I'll hear a song on the radio and it'll trigger something in me. I'll be like, that's me, God. Bless me with that. I'll take some of that. You can't receive from God passively. And unfortunately, we create cultures in churches and with church people who think God can bless people when they do nothing. And I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about activating yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By his stripes, I am healed. Yes, amen, praise God. Activated, yeah. Uh-huh. I put my motion and God's motion together, and now I sign up for a miracle. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. My motion, his motion, bam! It happens. Every time Jesus encountered people, he made them do something. Nowhere in the Bible is it found where you could sit blind Bartimaeus is a perfect example. The Bible says blind Bartimaeus was sitting over there on the wayside begging, the Bible says. As Jesus was walking by, the Bible says he got up and went to Jesus. Could Jesus have healed him while he was sitting there? Come on, talk to me. Yeah, he has that power. Was he going to? No, why? Because God does not move in passivity. I'll help you out. You need a Bible, I'll give it to you. Praise God. I just happen to know a verse. Mark chapter 3, here's a prime example. Mark chapter 3, look at it. And he said to the one who had a withered hand. What'd he say? Yeah, that's how that. Could Jesus have touched him and healed him instantly? Was he going to? No, why? Because it defies the principle of God. It defies the principle of movement. It defies the principle of God is unlimited, but if you don't know how to unlock it, you're shackled. But as soon as you understand, I got to go forward, you can unlock the things of God. I think about my own life. Every miracle, every miraculous thing that has ever happened in my life, it happened because I was forward. Wanting to go to Bible college. Wrong job, didn't have any money. I called the university. I said, hey, listen, I want to go to Bible college. They said, great. They said, do you have any money? Nothing. At the very end of the conversation, the lady said this, are you a veteran? Well, yes, yeah, certainly. I'm a veteran. She said, are you really? Well, you qualify for GI Bill? Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, you can get your college paid for. Really? Bam, within a month, new job, new car, and my college totally paid for. Now, praise God, but watch this. Did God want to bless me and not you? Uh-uh. It's because I was learning how to lean in. I go and look for a church. I go to a church. I set up a meeting with a realtor and went and looked at a church building whenever I didn't have anybody. I looked for an hour at this building. Lady at the very end, she said, are you a pastor? I said, no. She goes, do you got any people in your, you got a church? No. Her next question was probably going to be, what are we doing here? But what she didn't know that I knew is that God moves with movement. You've got to move forward if you're going to experience the miraculous. You can't sit by the wayside saying, God, give me a miracle, and not do something. The faith of God demands that you on the inside move forward. It's something in your life. Because if you don't move forward, you hinder God and you're stopping the potential of God. But at the point that you say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to take what I know and I'm going to step forward into this thing. God is going to meet you at the point that you step forward. This is why our worship needs to be forward. This is why we preach and I want you to participate because I want you forward. This is why at your home, when you're worshiping God, you should be forward. This is why when you pray, don't pray the silly religious prayers. Don't be like, well, Lord, if it be your will, I don't know. That's backwards. There's no faith in that. There's no hope in that. There's no inspiration in that. That doesn't move you, much less God. Preach on. I will. See, well, the truth of the matter is, the way you move is you move you first. Yeah. You can pray the same prayer, Lord, you know, or this. Father, I thank you for blessing my family, touching them. And this has not got anything to do with the inflection of my voice. It doesn't have any. It has to do with what's going on in here. I pray from my heart. I pray from my spirit. I pray from deep down in here. And I say, Lord, bless our church. Bless our people. Anoint our kids. Bless our homes. Bless our spouses. Bless my family. Bless them, God. Sometimes I don't even know what to say. That's when I pray in tongues, praise God. I don't even know how to say it. I just say it that way. Because there's a pressing in it. There's a movement in it. Because I understand. And I'm praying that you'll get it deep down in you. And you, if you ain't got it by now, I wear you out all day. That you've got to move forward with God for God to move in your life. Say amen to that. God does not bless passivity. Check this out. Let me give you a couple verses here. Look at Mark 11:22. Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says. Do you believe that's an activity? Do you believe that you've got to move something? And one of the first things you can do to unlock the potential of God is say it, because your mouth sets things in motion. Move it. Move it. The Bible doesn't say God will move your mountain. The Bible says have faith in God and then speak to your mountain. You've got to move it. You've got to move it. The miracle is your movement and His movement coming together for your miracle moment, praise God. It's your movement with His movement that collides and becomes. You'll find every place in the Bible where God, Jesus, did anything. You'll find Him digging ditches, throwing arrows, throwing rocks, throwing water on an altar. You find them in every situation doing something because they recognize you cannot receive from God passively, praise God. Come on, say amen to that. Yeah, how many of you want more of God? Then you've got to move in it. You've got to move in it. Because the truth of the matter is, God moves right outside your comfort zone. God moves. See, if you're at home worshiping and you're one of those people that, well, I'm just blessed listening to Christian music. You know, I like hearing about God. Oh, well, that'll do you for a while. But you'll outgrow that. God will see to it that you outgrow that. Yes, He will. I just love listening to Christian music. Mm-hmm, all right. 2 years later, I don't really love listening to Christian music. I just don't sense God anymore. I don't feel God moving in my life anymore. You want to know why? You outgrew that stage. Now what God wants you to do is add movement. What's the next level? Well, Lord, I'm just going to lift my hands. Come on, you're in your living room all by yourself. Nobody can see you. I feel God. What happened? Was it that God showed up now? No, it's just your movement encountered His movement. And so you activated it. You walked into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is what happens with people when they come to church week after week after week after week after week and they don't know how to access the things of God. They become frustrated. Man, I used to feel God. I don't feel God no more. I used to see God moving. I don't see God no more. Yeah, because you stopped moving. You stop moving. God didn't go nowhere. If you get moving, you'll encounter God again. Every time in your life. Think about what I'm saying. Whether you've encountered God once, 5, 10, 20, 100, 500, doesn't matter. Every time you've encountered God, it was because you were moving forward. Moving forward. moving forward. And this really has nothing to do with whether you lift your hands, although I would encourage you, if you've never done it, maybe you ought to try and get crazy one day. Just radical stupid. And lift your hands. Really stretch yourself. It's going to take a lot of faith. This is why oftentimes we see God move in our desperate situations. For years I had wondered, why does God move when people are desperate? It's because they're willing to move. I can't stand where I'm at, so I might as well do something to move forward. Like Popeye, I've had all I can stand and I can't stand no more. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? So what happens is you're like, you know, this is all crumbling. I might as well move. What a revelation. Maybe you should have moved long before now, before you became so desperate. Maybe you're supposed to go from glory to glory to glory and not bottom out and then come back up, praise God. Come on, say amen to that. That's so true. Now, every time you go pressing in on God, can I assure you there are going to be enemies? There are going to be enemies. If you don't know this, you need to know this. Every time you start working it out, you're going to find yourself encountering some enemies. You're going to find out that these are your enemies. The world, can I tell you, we live in a backwards generation? That evil has become good and good has become evil? And don't Facebook me or call me up. I don't even give a rip. Evil has become good and good has become evil. We've got it so backwards. And here's what I told my son the other day. We were talking and he said, man, Dad, I can't believe the crazy people. I said, listen, you want to find crazy, son? I go, find a bunch of crazy people. You want to find out who the real crazies are, though? Find the people that celebrate crazy. Because they're the real crazy leaders. Yeah. People that celebrate crazy are crazy. That is an enemy. Because they're going to make you think you're crazy in this world. But can I assure you, you're not of this world. You're an alien. Abraham said he was a pilgrim passing through, praise God. You know what you are? You are a pilgrim passing through this place. You are foreigners in a foreign land. And if you feel like you're not, you ain't saved enough. Come on, there's no such thing as more saved, but you get what I'm saying. The world is an enemy. The world will tell you you're crazy for worshiping God, for lifting your hands, for saying amen, for looking at a sticker or a thing in what's that godforsaken place where we go? Hobby Lobby. Just kidding. It's a foo-foo place. Let's go to a gun store. Anyway, because that's a blessing right there. Ammo. The world will tell you you're crazy. That's an enemy. The world will push on you. If you pray and pray out loud, you're crazy. But they're taking medicine. They're on Prozac. Drinking their problems away. Don't know up from down and down from up. Can't even keep their family straight. All dysfunctional and hate each other. Ain't gonna tell you you're crazy. Yeah. The world is an enemy. How about the flesh? You know, your flesh can be your worst enemy. Your flesh is really one of those unique things. Because, and when I say flesh, I'm talking about the part of you that came from Adam and Eve. The part that's fallen. The fallen nature of the flesh. The flesh is weird. And if you don't know how to identify it, let just someone pull out in front of you tomorrow on your way somewhere. And you want to say something with your ALC bumper sticker on the back of your car. That'll help you identify your flesh. Because your flesh just real, it's like, whoa! And you don't even know it's there until that's crazy. It's something happened. Whoa! That thing was, I thought I loved everybody. You know, you love everybody until they get on your nerves, is what you meant. Come on, that's your flesh. Your flesh will resist the things of God. Like whenever we talk about lifting our hands, you know, your flesh will be like, keep your hands down. Everybody's looking at you. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody even cares. Well, if I say amen, I'm the only one on this row. Well, you're the normal one. You should say amen. Amen. Yeah. You, why? Because you know something they don't. Why? You know by moving forward, you qualify for miracles in your life. Sitting stagnant doesn't do anything for you. This is why you can have churches where people come week after week after week and God doesn't do anything in their life. And yet you can have churches where people initiate, people activate, people move forward in their heart, move forward with God, and God, man, God's moving all over the place. It's awesome, man. You can have two people in the same church sitting here and one be like, well, that's good. That's good stuff. Yeah, it's inspiring. It is possible to be inspired but not changed. I'm not talking about inspiration. I'm talking about moving something on the inside of you. Say, well, I want God to do it. Well, you're going to wait till forever. It's not going to happen. Why? God isn't going to control you like that. You've got to move yourself. The devil. Do I even need to wear that one out? Come on. The devil. Yeah, I don't even need to say that. Religion. Well, we didn't do that at our church. Yeah, but your church is dead. Well, that offends me. What offends me? That churches are dead. I'm being honest. Hear my heart. I'm offended that churches are dead. We're supposed to have the life of God up on the inside of this thing. Praise God. Maybe that's what's wrong with the world. Maybe Christianity has been so dead, they walk into a church and the nightclub feels more alive than the church. And then we wonder why they will pay money, a cover charge, to get into that place. If we told everybody we're charging you a cover charge for the life of God that is up in here, people would be like, I just can't even believe that church charges a cover charge. I'm not saying we're doing that, but here's my, although, no, I'm teasing. But do y'all hear what I'm saying? Do you hear me here? Do you hear me in your heart? Do you hear me what I'm talking about? Do you hear that at least there's life there? People want life. They don't want dead religion. Religion kills, man. Jesus said it. He said, you make the word of God no effect because of your religious traditions. Well, we just can't clap. Why? Well, grandma will be mad. Grandma died. She's dead. She's buried. Nobody cares. The world's going to hell, literally, and we're arguing over projectors and clapping. You out of your mind? Stop. Slow down. Work it out. May offend someone. I hope you hear my heart. There's some sarcasm in it, but the sarcasm is meant to challenge the way you're thinking so that you will understand how to unlock the potential of God in your life. Because that's my heart. I want you to unlock the potential of God. Your past, Pastor Charlie, I couldn't possibly do this. I couldn't possibly activate myself. Why? I've been divorced. So? Okay, you messed up. Fish from different waters. That isn't going to work. Well, I messed up my life. Well, maybe you have messed up your life, but here's what I do know. Here in just a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion. And this juice that we have here, it represents the blood of Jesus. And that blood washed away every one of your sins. No matter how big or how small, he washed away every one of your sins 2,000 years ago. And if you will receive that forgiveness and watch this, move forward in that forgiveness, you'll find freedom and liberty, and that bondage will be broken off of you. Mm-hmm. It'll be broken off of you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Can I tell you, some of you, your present is your worst enemy. The present condition you're in. I'm afraid what my people might think. I'm afraid this. I'm afraid of that. Your mind plays head games with you, and it robs you. Instead of you just saying, I'm going to do it. And you say, well, what is forward? Forward is, I'm telling you, as many people, 700 people or whatever in our church this weekend, forward is different to each and every person. This is why in the Bible, you'll find miracles happening for people doing the craziest things. But every miracle is a combination of their movement combining with God's to see their miracle moment happen in their life. Come on, say amen to that. So if you want something to change in your life, ask God what you need to be moving in. Where do I need to move? What do I need to move? Where do I need to move? Where do I need to apply my faith and move forward in it? Because if I can apply my faith and move forward, my goodness, I'm going to unlock God's potential in my life. But as long as I sit here by the wayside begging, not moving, guess what? I hinder God. Mm-hmm. You will have enemies, But you got to defeat those enemies if you're going to see God move in your life. You ready? Last one. If you're taking notes, write this one down. You ready? Listen to this. You must go forward. You must go forward. You must go forward. There's a beautiful example of this in the Bible, probably one of the most unlikely situations in the entire Word of God. And it is in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. Now, there were four leprous men. Now, I don't know if you've been around four leprous men lately, but how many of you know four leprous men probably don't have a whole lot of faith and a whole lot going on in their life? They were the outcast of their society of that day. And now check this out. Four leprous men. And the Bible says this, the men were at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why sit here till we die?" Oh my goodness, I could preach that. That right there, I could preach a whole sermon series probably just on that statement. Why sit here till we die? Why sit here till we die? Why sit here till we die? Is there something in your life that you're going, I guess it's just no hope. I guess there's no hope. Can I tell you this one thing about the devil that I understand? That if there's one thing about the enemy that you need to understand, that he is here to remove hope from people. He is here to remove hope. Check this out. Hebrews 11, 1 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm here to tell you that if there's one thing that the devil has mastered, it is taking hope out of people. This week, if you plugged into the news and you're into following the Supreme Court and all that, and you found out what they did, I imagine in your world when you turned on the TV, you felt like hope just got sucked out of you, man. Felt like hope was sucked out of you. I'm here to tell you this, that the Bible was given to you so that you could have faith and that hope could reside up on the inside of you. So that you could always have hope. That no matter what condition the earth might be in, you can have hope. You can have hope. Why? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. My faith is not in this world. My faith is not in our government. My faith is not in the Supreme Court. My faith is not in the State House or the White House. My faith is not even at my house. My faith is in the Word of God and God's Spirit on the inside of me. And that alone is enough to plant hope up on the inside of my heart. Praise God. That's all I need. That's all I need. That's it. That's all I need. All I need is the Word of God, and that's faith and faith alone that I can stand on. And God's, and there is no way the devil can take that away from me. As long as there's breath in this body, there is hope on this planet, praise God. That's how you got to look at this thing. You got to have hope on the inside of you. These four leprous men said, "Why sit here till we die?" They go on to say, verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 4 of 2 Kings, "If we stay, we will enter the city, the famine's in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we will also die. Therefore," watch these guys are super spiritual. "Now therefore, come and let us surrender to the army of the Syrians." Why? Check out how spiritual they are. "If they keep us alive, we shall live." They're real deep, aren't they? How about this one? "And if they kill us, we shall only die." Oh, they're real deep, aren't they? "And they arose at twilight, and they go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, there was no one there." Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. They were moving. They were moving. They were moving. Now watch this next verse. "For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of the great army, so that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired the kings against us.'" Now, let's paint this for real. Four leprous men walking across the desert, shuffling their feet. How loud can they possibly be? Huh? I mean, you know, they're not very loud at all. Four leprous men. But listen, they were doing something that was critical. They were moving forward. Your condition is no significance in the matter. All that matters is your movement. Yeah. Yeah, if you will understand this principle, my word, it doesn't matter where you're from, what you were born under, who you were born to, and none of that is relevant. All that matters is, which way are you moving? Because if you're moving forward, then bless God. As you move, watch what God does. As they moved their feet, they shuffled their feet all the way to that city. While they were moving, God took that simple movement. I don't know how he did it, but I assume he took their feet, he brought it up in the atmosphere, magnified it, piped it down over that city. They thought they heard an army coming, and it was four leprous men. Why? They went in motion. When they go in motion, they put themselves in motion with God. When you combine your motion with God's motion, you allow yourself to unlock the potential of God, and the miracle can take place in your life then. My goodness, that's good. That's so good. You've got to move, man. You can't sit there. Your complacency is killing you. It's killing you. It's killing us. It's killing everyone. You've got to move forward in the things of God. Yeah. I was thinking about it this way. Like I was telling you, we sang songs years ago whenever we were in church. And I remembered as I was putting this message together a song that we used to sing. And it really used to annoy me. One of the reasons we don't do hymns here, there's a couple reasons. We don't do a lot of hymns here because I don't know a lot of them. The other reason is I'm afraid that if we sing them, we'll sing them religious the way you sang them whenever you sang them religious. You can sing songs that are hymns and press on them and then be powerful. But the problem is most people tie them to dead religious things and they can't push on them. Yeah, there's a reason. I just thought you were anti-hymn. No, I'm actually pro-hymn. The people that wrote hymns, powerful. Give you an example. You ready? I want you to listen to the pushing of this song. It's a simple song, Onward Christian Soldier. Y'all ever heard that? Probably everybody in this building has heard it. Listen to what it says. You probably sang it, but you probably sang it like, Onward Christian Soldier. Just worn out. Jesus help me. Listen to what it says. It's better if I say the words, because immediately if you start singing it, you'll religiousize it, and it doesn't have the punch that that thing was intended to have. Listen to what it says. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward in battle, see his banner go. And it goes, Onward, Christian soldier, marching on to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Listen to this, second verse. We never did the second verse. First and fourth, where you been? How'd I get that question? Because I asked that question. Why don't we do the good ones? I'll tell you why. Watch this. Second verse. At the name of Jesus, Satan hosts does flee. That's what I'm talking about. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. That's what I'm talking about. Hell's foundation. The second verse said hell. Well, we can't sing that. We may offend someone. Well, let's just sing it as dead and religious as we can and not push on that. No, let me push on that. Hell's foundation quiver at the loud shout of praise. That's a pressing. That's a hell's, the foundations of hell tremble when we praise and worship our God. The Bible says, let God arise. How do you think he does that? He does that when we shout and praise him. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. It's exactly what happened with those four leprous men. That's what's happening in this song. They're singing about it. It's a powerful song, man. At the shout of praise, brothers, lift your voices. Loud anthems raise. Look at this. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. Watch this. We are not divided. All one body we, one faith, one spirit, one eternally. Watch this. Crowns and thrones may perish. Kingdoms rise and wane. But the church of Jesus constant will remain. Come on, that's some pressing on that. Look at this. Gates of hell shall never gain against the church prevail. Good Lord, that's good. I wish I'd have wrote that. That's so good. Gates of hell. We didn't sing the fourth verse. Gates of hell shall never gain against the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, which can never fail. That's good. Onward then, ye people, join the happy throng. Blend with your voices in triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Whoa, that's powerful, isn't it? Now, does that sound like some dead religious? Well, you know, I just hope God does something someday. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. You just never know. That song does not sound that way. Whoever wrote that song, the saint that wrote that song, they knew exactly the things of God. They understood the principle of God. They understood that if we're going to see God do things, we got to be in motion. We got to add our movement to his movement. When they collide, God does big things on this planet. Praise God. And the problem is, most people sit by the wayside waiting for God to move, waiting for God to do something. The problem is, God doesn't move that way. He needs your agreement in it. Praise God. So I got to thinking about it, and I thought about, what are some things that I would like to say as far as, not that I've said nothing yet, but I just want to press on it. It is time for us to move from pathetic to powerful. It's time for us to move from apathy to tenacity. It's time for us to move from lukewarm to like him. It's time to move from laziness to loving lavishly him, his word, and his church. It is time to move from religion to relationship. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's time to move from obligation to dedication. And it's time to move from membership, well, I just go to church, to ministry. I impact the world with the faith that I've been given, praise God. It's simply time for us to move forward in our things of God. Come on, did y'all hear that? It's time to move forward with those things. It's time to move forward. You got to press in. Pastor, what are you really saying? This morning, I'm wanting you to grab a hold, and I'm done. Here in a minute, 20. I'm just kidding. I want you to press in. I want you to move forward. I don't care if you have a bad past. Leave it in the past. You drove here. You have two things that you looked at. Well, probably more than that, but two specific. You have a windshield and a rearview mirror that you used on your way here. Which one's the biggest one? The windshield. Why? Because the past is really irrelevant compared to your future. You need to look forward. Looking forward is one thing. Leaning forward and saying, God, impact it. How can I move forward with you is another. And that's where I want you to be. If you want to impact, if you want God to impact your world, you need to push forward. You need to say, God, I need you to be a part of my life. God, I want you to be a part. Lord, show me where to move forward in my life. And you know what God will do? Boy, he'll show up just like those four leprous men. He'll show up and impact your world. Now, we're going to have communion here. We're going to have communion. The little juice represents the blood of Jesus. If you don't have one, lift up your hand. The ushers will get you one. The little wafer represents the body of Christ that was broken for each and every one of us. The blood, how many of you know Jesus' blood washed away all of our sins? And the little wafer, all the body. The body of Christ was ripped apart so that your body could be free. Now, we're going to do communion a little bit different here this morning. We're going to play a song. They'll get to you. You got plenty of time here, I promise you. All right? Listen, we're going to play a song, and this song is called Moving Forward. And I want you to really have communion on your own. I want you to ask the Lord, where do I need to move forward in? What do I need to move forward in? I'll wait till everybody's done so I get everybody's attention. Everybody look at me and check this out. We're going to have communion. I want you to do it on your own. Before you take communion, I want you to ask the Lord, where do I need to press forward? Where do I need to press forward in my life? This song is really a declarative song. It says, I'm not going back, I'm moving forward. I'm declaring, and it talks about some things. And listen, during this time, if you want to stand up and worship God, you're more than welcome to. If you want to sit right where you are and worship God, you're more than welcome to. All I'm asking for you to do is, number one, take communion. Number two, ask the Lord where you need to be pressing in. Where do you need to move forward so that God can impact your life? Because as your pastor, I'm here to tell you, nothing about me wants more than you to experience God in your life each and every day. That's what I want. But I also know you can't do that if you don't move forward with him. Did y'all get that? Father, I pray that you bless this juice. Represent your blood. I thank you that it was given to us so that our sins could be forgiven. I thank you that each and every one of our sins are completely washed away by the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the little wafer. It represents your body, which was broken. A body broken so that my body could be made whole. So, Father, I pray that here today, you will heal bodies, heal hearts, heal minds, forgive sin, wash them clean today. We believe what you did 2,000 years ago still impacts us, and we move forward in that. In Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Now watch this video. Worship on your own. As soon as it's over, we'll dismiss you.
To declare to you, my past is over in you. Things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. What a moment, you have brought me to such a freedom, Lord. I have found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your hands, you have given me a second chance. Hallelujah, yes, hallelujah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sing that with me, sing, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not going back, moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you. My past is over me. Things are made new. Yeah. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, not going back. No, 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 no. I'm here to declare to you. My past is over me. My things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Forward.
that what that song said and declared over each and every person would be true. That you make all things new, God. No matter what they've struggled with, no matter what it is, leave it in their past, God. Let them move beyond it and let them embrace what you have by moving forward. God, I pray with all my heart that they got the word into their hearts, that moving forward aligns them with your miracle, God. So I pray that you'd bless them, you'd touch them, you'd minister to them. God, I pray that this week as they move forward, you're going to show up, show off, and show out in each and every life, God. You're going to show them what you can do because they're going to unlock the secret things of you by moving forward, God. I pray that they'd move forward in their giving. They'd move forward in their love. They would move forward in their prayer life. They would move forward in their speaking the word of God. They would move forward in their relationships. They would move forward with their children. They would move forward, God, so they can receive all that you got for them. Bless them. Touch them. Overflow their lives this week. We thank you, Lord, for placing hope deep down within them. Answer their prayer as to what to move forward in. We thank you and praise you for it. Come on, in Jesus' name, everybody says, give the Lord one more clap offering, and I'm done.